The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Senator Ron Johnson joins the program. And then some breaking news out of Georgia. Colton Moore is ready to proceed with impeachment of Big Fannie Willis. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. And as always, you can email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now exclusively, Senator Colton Moore, a great American. There is fight left in the state of Georgia, and there is an official petition to investigate Fannie Willis, as well as now his letter to Governor Brian Kemp. I'm going to read this. Colton Moore, welcome to the program. Dear Governor Kemp, we, the undersigned, being the duly elected members of the Georgia House of Representatives and Georgia Senate, and compromising 3/5 of each respective house pursuant to Article 4, Section 2, Paragraph 7B, making sure my Roman numerals are right, hereby certify to you in writing with a copy of the Secretary of State that in our opinion, emergency exists in the affairs of the state, requiring a special session to be convened under that section for all purposes to include that limitation, the review and response to the actions of Fannie Willis. Sincerely, Colton Moore. Colton, welcome to the program. Tell us about it.
Charlie, thank you for having me. I mean, we're in a dire situation. After these indictments came out, I woke up, ate my biscuit, and I was like, is there a hair in my biscuit? I mean, this is disgusting. We have a district attorney using taxpayer money, using her government authority to persecute her political opponent to the tune of the death penalty. I will not be a sitting senator in this state and potentially have the former president be executed in the state of Georgia.
Yeah. So let's just kind of walk through this. You are now leading a legislative campaign of oversight. What does that look like constitutionally in the state of Georgia? Tell us about it.
So I have a job to do as a senator, Charlie. And part of that job in the legislature is providing oversight. The Constitution gives us some tools to do that. First of which is the power of the purse, right? We control the money. And my constituents, Georgians, outside of the city of Atlanta, don't feel that their tax dollars ought to be used for this type of purpose. You know, we've also got the power to investigate any judicial or executive official. And we ought to be doing an investigation on Fannie Willis. And if that investigation turns out that she's corrupt, like many of us suspect, it's time for impeachment.
And so what is impeachment? So in the Georgia Constitution, the House or the Senate can impeach a prosecutor. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. It's one of those checks and balances that we're blessed with here in the presidential system of American government.
So let me ask you, what is the read the room for us amongst your colleagues?
Yeah.
You're leading this. It's now going totally viral as finally, praise God, good on you. Let's use some of this constitutional power to slow this down, investigate her. Was she given an external power? Why is she indicting the entire Republican Party? It's not just Trump. It's John Eastman, Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis. It's totally out of control.
It's a fellow senator. It's a colleague of mine in the Senate. Is it also included on that indictment?
So what is the temperature check of the Georgia Senate? Is this going to be met Yeah, please.
Yeah, I mean, Republicans in the state of Georgia are asleep at the wheel. Okay? Everything is talk, talk, talk. I talk to my other fellow senators, and everything's, we'll kind of wait this out, talk about it. You know, let's post a tweet. You know, let's make a Facebook post. I have a job to do. It's time to take action. And Charlie, let me tell you, right after this indictment, I was having dinner with my mother. And I told her, I said, no more talk. Like, I have a job to do. Time to take action. And she was worried. She's like, I don't know. They've got these guys charged with crimes that could potentially result in lethal injection. I don't know if I want you meddling in that. And I was like, Mom, that's the time to take action. Because as a red-blooded American, you should never fear a Gestapo political tactic from a power like a DA.
So I don't want to get you in trouble here, but just I want to drill this down. Do you think your colleagues are going to support this?
Oh, I think when their constituents start calling them up, they're going to be supporting them.
Boom.
Right? Because it's time to take action.
Well, according to Fannie Willis, it's a conspiracy to ask your lawmakers to do something, but whatever. Let's just be clear. So for the Patriots of Georgia, they need to call their state rep and their state senator. And what is the ask? What is the order?
To help us with this process to begin defunding the district attorney and investigating her through the means of a special session. That's our job as a legislature, is to put a check and balance on this judicial branch.
To put a check and balance on the judicial branch. And praise right. God, you have the courage to do this. Were you cautioned not to get into this by certain, let's just say, older Republicans? Were you told, don't send this letter?
You know, the caution comes in many forms. They're all cautious. And that's the scary part. That's what makes me so afraid. I'm 29 years old, Carly. So I do not want to live the next 30 years of my life worried about a regime. I mean, this is some Putin fascist nonsense.
So the letter is composed to the governor. Does he have to be the one to actually call the special session?
No. So part of that check and balance process, the governor himself could call a special session and we could start right now. We could start tomorrow. But the governor has already made his statement. You know, he's looking back at this like this is a 2020 issue. Well, it took 19 days to count the votes, and these individuals have a legitimate concern about the election, right? They were using their First Amendment to express concern about the election. And then now they're being charged with it. They're being taken political prisoner.
And so then you guys can call the session with three-fifths.
That's right, without the governor.
Got
right,
it.
Without the
Does
governor.
Does he preside yeah. over it, or is he called into it, or?
No, this is what the legislature would be operating independently, and it gives us full subpoena power.
So what are the numbers, the House and the Senate, as far as this the Republican majorities?
So if every Republican in the Senate signed on, we would have what was necessary. It's going to take every GOP Republican to stand up and abide by the principles of freedom, regardless of whether you like Donald Trump or not, regardless if you have a beef with some of these other folks who are indicted. These folks were using their freedom of expression, and they had a concern. So the problem we're going to have over in the House is we're going to have to pick up a few Democrats. The margins are a little tighter there. But here's the other thing about this district attorney. The ACLU reports that half of the inmates in her jail have yet to be charged with a crime. And meanwhile, we've got young thug, young slime, who's got RICO charges similar to what these political prisoners are about to have. And they haven't even picked a jury in over a year now.
So now we have evidence. It's young thug. I thought, is this some sort of a rapper or something?
I believe so. Yeah, I'm not a big rap music fan, but his name is Young Thug, and I think the crime syndicate is called Young Slime.
Got it. So yeah, so they're standing for RICO charges, and she's going easy on him. Meanwhile, by the way, Fulton County, it's like a third world country. When I go there, crime is up. It's terrible, and yet she's trying an interstate RICO case.
And claims that she can get it done in like 6 months. Right. And 18 people.
And yet it's
ridiculous. And yet Republicans are asleep at the wheel and say, I don't know, just let it play out, you know?
So we have to wake up the Republican Party. I'm sure you have some colleagues that are going to stand with you, but we have to pressure each Republican Georgia senator one by one. We need every county in Georgia. We need mass mobilization. This is the call to action. I just want you to riff on this. I'll be honest. I love the people of the state of Georgia. I love Georgia. But you guys have really disappointed in some ways in the last couple of years. It's a strange Republican apparatus. This is a chance for Georgia redemption.
Yeah, no doubt. This is it. I'm going to be probably looking for other states to move to if I have to worry about the former president being executed for using his First Amendment rights. I want to fight for freedom, Charlie. That's why I'm here. I'm a senator. The people duly elected me to do a job, and my job gives me certain powers, certain checks and balances as a legislator, and I have to take full advantage of that authority.
Listen, as students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest, most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. And these days, in addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you and me. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from my friends at Hillsdale is through InPrimus, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. My listeners can sign up for free at this special website, which is available for a limited time. It's at charlie4hillsdale.com. I look forward to InPrimus each month, and you can too. It's interesting, useful, and free. The best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale and InPrimus at charlie4hillsdale.com. They're an excellent college, America's greatest college, charlie4hillsdale.com. Colton Moore continues with us. So, Colton, now is the time for the Constitution to be primary. Can you just tell us, have there been some private conversations or text messages from colleagues that are disgusted with this indictment from Fannie Willis? What has been the consensus Republican reaction amongst your colleagues?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of folks are disgusted. I think a lot of people are reluctant to say anything. The best suggestion I've heard from any of my colleagues is maybe we'll just put up a bar complaint. That's not our role as a legislator.
Wow, that's really a bar complaint. That's your typical Republican response.
And the public doesn't even know about that. It's all private. Nobody's going to hear about it. That's never going to happen. Right. This is our job as legislators to take action, to implement our authority. And our authority is to defund. We can move the purse. We have the power of the tax dollar, and also to investigate, to provide oversight. And this district attorney has to have some oversight when you've got young thug and young slime taking a year to pick a jury. But meanwhile, you're going to take on some political prisoners, charge them with crimes so strong you could be put to death if found convicted, and try to do it in 6 months.
Yeah, and I would just remind your colleagues, Georgia does not look favorable to the rest of the country right now. This is a joke, and I'm glad you're standing up. It is well known just kind of as now one of the most corrupt, backward states in the country. And that's too bad because the people of Georgia are wonderful. Play cut 90.
That I am told, this is hearsay, but I am told by a reliable source that Friday evening, somebody from Washington called the district attorney in Atlanta and said, you have to indict on Monday. We have to cover up all of the mistakes we just made with Weiss. And she said, apparently, my jurors aren't coming back till Tuesday. And they said, you didn't hear me. You have to indict on Monday. And she said, well, they're not going to get here before noon. They said, it doesn't matter. She said, this means it's going to be 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night. She said, it doesn't matter. We need the news
so
media shifting.
Who made that phone call?
We don't know. And I'm telling you up front, this is hearsay, but it's from a person who has remarkably good sources.
I totally believe it, though, because that would explain why they leaked and they messed up on the clerk document, why she was exhausted, and why they had the 11 p.m. press conference, Mr. Speaker.
Wow. First I'm hearing of this.
Your reaction?
I mean, I'm not surprised. You know, I mean, I don't think any American is surprised. I don't think any Georgian is surprised. I mean, the biggest surprise of all is that they're following through with this type of RICO nonsense themselves. I mean, it's organized political oppression.
It's organized political oppression, and it's a direct all-out assault on the Constitution. So in the time we have remaining, Colton, repeat the call to action. What is the best case scenario here?
The call to action is, if you're in Georgia, let your legislators know you're demanding them to do their job. We have a legislative obligation to oversee judicial and executive branches of government. We also control the purse. Let's use that. Let's take advantage of that authority. Because I tell you what, my constituents and people all over Georgia, they don't want their tax dollars funding this type of regime. To find out more information about me, you can go to ColtonMoore.com. You can also sign on to our official petition there and get involved. We need your help. We got a country to save, Charlie.
Yes, we do. Georgia, we need you to rise up, contact your legislators. And if you can't defund Fannie Willis, if you can't impeach her, then we're in a much darker place. But Colton, you have courage, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Charlie, so do you. And I've been following you from the very get-go, and I couldn't be more appreciative of the work you do for this country and great America.
Hold the line in the Georgia Senate. We appreciate you. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Delray and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage related, please call them and not the big woke banks. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer renting and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. Joining us right now, one of the few heroes in Washington, D.C., Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Senator, thank you for taking time. There has been widespread outrage over the developments regarding Weiss and him becoming a special counsel. Walk through your reaction and how we should think about Weiss now allegedly investigating all of Hunter Biden's misdeeds.
Well, you first have to understand who David Weiss is. Yes, he was appointed by Trump, but he's recommended by two Democrat senators coming from the Democrat machine out of Delaware. So you can't really look at him as a Republican partisan really wanting to uncover the truth. He had this investigation for 5 years. He allowed the statute of limitations to expire on some of the more serious tax charges. He was the one who was in charge, and I would call it a sleazy sweetheart plea agreement. They're trying to pull the wool over the judge's eyes. Fortunately, she had her eyes open, and she didn't let them get away with it. So there are two primary requirements in terms of special counsel. One, that individual ought to be outside of government. David Weiss obviously doesn't qualify there. He's inside government. But even more importantly, the special counsel should be independent. As I've been saying, you know, you take 8 billion people on the planet. If you have to find the one person that had the least independence when it comes to the Hunter Biden investigation, it would be David Weiss. And that's who Merrick Garland appointed. Now, the other point to make as well is either Merrick Garland or David Weiss lied to Congress. Is this one way for them to prevent Congress from investigating and determine exactly which one of them did lie to Congress?
So are you going to have an opportunity? So I guess the question is, because he's now been named a special counsel, is he now unsubpoenable, for lack of a better term, meaning you can't subpoena him or you can't bring him in front of Congress because he says it's an active investigation?
Well, listen, I think the House can use their subpoena power and they can try and enforce it by using their sergeant at arms. There are things the House could do that generally Congress doesn't like doing, but we better start enforcing our constitutional authority and our ability to conduct oversight. You know, one of the things I've been pointing out is how outmanned Congress is. We have tens, hundreds of thousands of people in these departments and agencies. As the ranking member on the permanent subcommittee investigation of the Senate, I have 5 staff members, 5. And partly because Congress really doesn't want to conduct oversight. When they spend trillions of dollars, they really don't want to see how that's misspent. Obviously, when you have Senate controlled by Democrats, they sure don't want to be investigating the Democrat administration. So we've got a real problem on a bipartisan basis. There's just not much of a desire to conduct meaningful oversight investigations from Congress. And as a result, our oversight capability has pretty well withered on the vine.
Yeah, and that's too bad, because you have the fourth branch of government that is unelected, unaccountable, unlimited amounts of power at times, with seeming unlimited amounts of money. And Congress has just punted and punted over the last 100 years. And the Leviathan, you need checks and balances against it. And it seems that the fourth branch of government is running Congress more than Congress is running the fourth branch of government. Okay, speaking of which is the FDA. The FDA should be able to call the heel by Congress. The FDA is a creation of Congress. The FDA did not create Congress. And there's been some very interesting developments regarding the FDA and ivermectin. Let's play cut 7.
We learned this morning that the FDA is now saying that it's okay to take ivermectin if you have COVID.
Yeah, Marie, you know the doctors I've been dealing with and talking to for years now. They believe that probably hundreds of thousands of Americans lost their lives because they were denied early treatment. And they were denied it because the FDA sabotaged, for example, ivermectin. And they said, come on, y'all, you're not a cow, you're not a horse. You know, this was supposedly horse medicine. No, this is a Nobel Prize winning medicine that could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives.
That could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Also, could have prevented mass mail-in voting, could have prevented lockdowns, could have prevented kids from becoming the most suicidal generation in history. Senator, you deserve such praise and credit and courage. You were speaking out when your colleagues, many of whom refused to. Your reaction to the recent FDA developments?
Well, I think it's interesting. Now that they're challenged in court, I was saying, we never denied access to ivermectin. We never denied doctors their off-label prescription rights. They by and large did. I mean, when the FDA comes out with that kind of tweet and then uses the media, and we know how federal officials use social media to censor true information, spread their own misinformation, they sabotage early treatment. Why? Because they were hell-bent on making sure that a vaccine got in every arm, not only in America, but globally, with this untested mRNA gene therapy platform that as of today on VAERS, we have over 35,500 deaths reported worldwide. 25% of those deaths are occurring on day 0, 1, or 2 following vaccination. And of course, VAERS doesn't prove causation. I realize that, but that's a pretty concerning correlation. And the other thing that VAERS generally does is it dramatically understates adverse events and deaths. So I don't know why federal officials are paying no attention to their own safety for surveillance system. They don't want to know. The body count is way too high. They'll never admit they're wrong. And unfortunately, they have the power to make it very difficult to prove them wrong.
I mean, you're painting an awfully bleak picture here, Senator. You've been in the Senate now for, what, 13 years? You came in as a businessman. I'm asking you kind of a more kind of this reflective question. Did you ever think 13 years later you'd be saying the body count is really high and our government doesn't care?
No. I knew the government was pretty dysfunctional. I came in, we were $14 trillion in debt. Now we're $33 trillion in debt. We racked up, in the first 10 months of this fiscal year, a deficit of $1.62 trillion.
Unacceptable.
I've been investigating federal agencies. They do not comply with subpoenas. They don't tell us the truth. I don't trust anything federal government and federal agencies tell me anymore. I just don't. I have no reason to trust them. They've run operations against me. They've given me unsecure briefings, then leaked those to the media to smear me and impact the Wisconsin 22 election. Federal law enforcement have been interfered in the 2016 to 2022, and now they're interfering in the 2024 election. What is there to trust about big government? I haven't found anything.
So they've run operations against you. I might not remember. What do you mean by that?
So during our investigation, Senator Grassley and mine, in the year 2020, we were being falsely accused of soliciting and disseminating Russian disinformation. In August of 2020, all of a sudden we got an unsolicited secure briefing from the FBI saying we were target of Russian disinformation. I just rolled my eyes. Okay, do you have like some real intelligence on this? Well, nothing we can share. And so I said, who told you to brief me about this? 3 years later, I still do not know who directed that unsolicited secure briefing. that supposedly defensive briefing that was completely unnecessary, that I knew was a setup, that I knew would be used to smear me, because previous secure briefings were also leaked to the media to smear me, saying that I was fully warned that our investigation was based on Russian disinformation. It was all a lie. It's the same old Russian misinformation interference canard that, quite honestly, the Democrats and federal officials have been using since the hack in the DNC server, who, by the way, I still do not believe, or I still haven't seen proof that Russia actually hacked the DNC server. I think that very possibly is a story to cover up the really grotesque emails that were uncovered.
I think you're right. And you have had a mandate from the people of Wisconsin to find out what's going on, to hold these agencies accountable. And the agencies fight back. That's what you're talking about, is that these agencies, for any sort of truth teller, for anyone that engages in meaningful oversight, they try to crush you. And thankfully, the people of Wisconsin are some of the most rational in the country. They have rewarded you time and time again in tough election cycle after tough election cycle with continuing that mandate. And Senator, I just find that interesting because you said that you came into this as a business guy believing government is dysfunctional. And I think it's a very similar experience for me. When I first got into this in 2012, you were one of the first people to speak at our Turning Point events back at UW-Madison. I said, government spends too much and it doesn't work properly. But now I believe, and I think you do too, the government is now hostily positioned against the citizenry.
It definitely is. Our founding fathers knew that. They knew if we didn't want to live in chaos and anarchy, we needed some form of government because we're not angels. But they also knew, because it came from dictatorial, tyrannical regimes, that government was something more to fear than something that we had to depend on to solve our problems. Because as it grew, our freedoms necessarily receded. So direct proportion. That's what we've seen. The government continued to grow, increase its power and control of our lives, its taxing authority. Let's face it, when they take 25% of your earnings, you've lost 25% of your freedom. But it's so much worse than that in terms of the regulatory power. And, remember Chuck Schumer, what he said, warned President Trump about. You take on the intelligence agency, they got six ways on Sunday to get you back, and they're getting him back.
That's right. He said that on Rachel Maddow. The context is super powerful. It was right before Donald Trump was sworn in as president. It was like January 8th or 9th, 2021. This was when Donald Trump tweeted out. He said, they spied on my campaign. They're spying on Trump Tower. And everyone called him a conspiracy theorist. Turned out he was right. And Chuck Schumer leans in to Rachel Maddow and he says, for a supposed very smart businessman, this is being really stupid, because if you go to war against the intel agencies, they have six ways from Sunday to get back at you. And that was the declaration of war. That was Chuck Schumer saying, watch out. And what did we get? Russiagate, the entrapment of Michael Flynn, Peter Strzok Smirk, all of the whole famous meeting. Remember the last meeting that we know of in the West Wing, Oval Office, with Joe Biden and Obama, which I think this plan was hatched. Senator Ron Johnson continues. So, Senator Johnson, what you're saying, Event 201, there's some possible pre-planning if it happened. I mean, are you suggesting that the COVID leak, which almost certainly came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, was intentional leak of a bioweapon?
The pre-planning of censoring of information. Obviously, the mRNA vaccine, they're just itching to utilize that platform and unleash that on billions of people worldwide. Anthony Fauci, a couple of weeks before the Event 201 at a Milken Institute, was talking to Rick Wright, just bemoaning the fact that they don't have a universal vaccination campaign. The flu just wasn't getting the job done. It would probably take a pandemic. Rick Bright talked about the mRNA platform. So again, they wanted a universal vaccine. In order to get an emergency use authorization on a vaccine, there couldn't be effective treatment. I think that's what I ran into, trying to make sure that we had enough hydroxychloroquine. That was my first problem, is there may not be enough if that stuff was effective. But, why did they sabotage you? Why did you have a completely fraudulent paper run, I think, in The Lancet? Yep. That had to be withdrawn after 2 weeks because it was completely fraudulent, but that pretty well sank hydroxychloroquine. And then, the FDA tweet about ivermectin, a Nobel Prize-winning drug, That pretty well tanked ivermectin, even though there were all kinds of studies. And of course, Pierre Corey testified in front of our committee and had that evidence that it was effective. And just anecdotally, I know so many people that had just dramatic turnarounds using these safe, effective, cheap generic drugs, including budesonide and a host of other things. But doctors simply weren't asked to treat. They weren't allowed to treat COVID patients. It was remdesivir, ventilator, vaccine. That's pretty much the three things. You know, some monoclonal antibodies, but they didn't even make those particularly easily available.
No, then they even distributed them using these crazy equity guidelines in certain parts of the country when they tried to distribute them. And so here we are, Senator. You refuse to give up. The American people are with you. I have unbelievable respect for your focus on this. And we're still waiting for some fundamental answers. Senator, have we been able to at least get some form of an acknowledgement that we know the most basic question, that COVID came from a laboratory?
No. And you know, you got the FBI now with a medium level of confidence saying they think it was man-made. What amazes me, the CIA, which I think is funded bioweapon research, I think they're fully aware of Ralph Baric and what Anthony Fauci was doing. They're clinging to their assessment that it sprang from nature, which is laughably absurd. Okay. So, they're trying to cover up. It was obvious to me very early on. I was talking to computational biologists. This had to be man-made. But when I saw Fauci's emails where he was engaged in an immediate cover-up the end of January, first part of February with Jamie Farrar and with Francis Collins and the other people that wrote that Proximal Origin paper, I mean, they're obviously covering their tracks. As I said, you know, it makes sense in the age of CRISPR to hold these tabletop exercises to be prepared. But it also makes sense in the age of CRISPR technology to at least acknowledge the possibility that a new virus could have been man-made and might have leaked from a lab. But we weren't allowed to even consider that. That was a conspiracy theory. That is highly suspicious in and of itself.
Isn't that something? Well, Senator, thank you for your courage and your focus on this. And we deeply appreciate it. They've tried to take you out in every which way, but you stand stronger than ever, and we're with you. Senator, thank you so much.
Thanks for what you do. Take care.
Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee. And so people ask, who should the VP be? I've said before, and I'll say again, you want to win the state of Wisconsin? You want to have a fighter as vice president? You want to have someone that can unite the tribes? Senator Ron Johnson. Senator Ron Johnson is well-respected in every single necessary category in Republican circles. Republican donors respect Senator Johnson. He's a businessman. The base supports him. Small business owners support him. And he's a faithful man. He's a hard worker, and he would help deliver Wisconsin. He's a no-nonsense based but very respectful Midwestern man. I think it would be really interesting to see, especially as you see the electoral map the way it is. We need the Rust Belt. We need Wisconsin. I think Senator Johnson should be on the short list for Donald Trump's selection for vice president. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.